Good morning. Good morning. Hey, I'm so glad you're here. If this is your first time, thank you for joining us. We're excited that you're here. So today, I'm going to start out a little story of an experience in my life. I grew up here in Arizona. I wasn't born here, but at 7 years old, I moved here. And like many Arizona people, I am a wannabe Californian. Like, most of us want to be from California. We act that way. We go there a lot. I actually think we spend more money in California than California people spend in California. And I was this way growing up. I grew up going to California all the time. I happened to play travel baseball, so we would go there for tournaments. We travel all over the country, and one of the places that we went the most was California because it was right next door. So I found myself in California a lot of times growing up, whether it was with my parents or with baseball. This specific time, I happened to be there with my baseball team, all my buddies. We were hanging out there, and for this tournament on this special day, we happened to have an off day. There were no games. So if you are in California on an off day, what do? You go to the beach. Yes, exactly. You go to the beach. So that is where I found myself on this day. Some of my friends' parents took us all down to the beach. My parents weren't there for some reason. I can't remember why, but my friends' parents had taken a group of us down to the beach, and we were hanging out. A lot of you don't know this about me, but I happen to be a fish out of water. I love the water. When I go to California, I would love to spend the entire time in the ocean. That's just, I don't know. I like it. I pretend I'm a dolphin. That's really weird. I can't believe I've admitted that. I do weird things, apparently, and I just enjoy being in the ocean. I enjoy it. I also enjoy water sports. Now I have attempted to learn how to surf. I can slightly, kind of, not very well. But at the time, I boogie boarded. That was my thing. The boogie board is about this big. You paddle on it. It's also what they use to teach three-year-olds how to swim. I happened to be using one of those when I was about your age. I found myself on a boogie board, and I was good at this thing. This whole boogie boarding thing, I was a professional as far as professional boogie boarders go. I had done it at least 3 to 4 times up until this point. I knew what I was doing. I know how to handle this. So when my friend's parents were yelling at us to come in a little bit closer to the shore, I'm thinking, they don't know me. I mean, come on. I know how to boogie board. I've done this at least 3 to 4 times in my life. I've got this under control. When my friends started getting further and further away from me, I'm thinking, well, of course, obviously, they're not as good as me at this whole boogie boarding thing, so I'm going to be out a little bit further. That's where all the good waves are. I've seen the Disney Channel movies. I know where the good waves are. I know how to do this thing, okay? And then I was drifting closer and closer to the pier. If you don't know what a pier is, it sticks out into the ocean. It's this big, tall structure, these giant pillars that you can walk on. I'm not really sure what the purpose is, but it's there, and you can walk out on it. Well, if you know anything from those Disney Channel movies, the closer you are to the pier, the better the waves are. That's where all the surfers hang out. That's where all the boogie boarders hang out. That's where 12-year-old me was hanging out trying to be a professional. I'm thinking, I've got this under control. The waves are getting bigger. This is getting a little crazier. I'm out there a ways. At very worst, I would get eaten by a shark, which would make the news, and then I would be famous. I wouldn't be here to see that, but I would at least get some fame from that. I'm out there thinking, I've got this, right? I can do this. And then suddenly, something changed. I was out there, and suddenly I hear something coming from the pier above me. I hear a loud voice. And not just a loud voice, but actually a voice on a loud speaker. There are speakers on this pier that a certain group of people get to use, and I hear this come over that loud speaker.
Tower 2, boogie boarder. Tower 2, boogie boarder.
And immediately I realize that something was about to change. Something different was about to happen. So I'm sitting there. I have totally everything under control. I'm not scared. I'm not nervous that I will never make my way back to the beach. I'm not. I got this under control. And all of a sudden, I see somebody dive in the water. And this guy dives in the water with more energy than anybody else. This dude has a mission. he dives in the water for a purpose. And I also happen to see that he's carrying an orange flotation device. And I realize this guy has a purpose. I wonder what's going on. He stands out from the crowd. It was a busy summer day. There were a lot of people in the water, but this dude is swimming towards something and fast. He's on a mission, and he's coming to do something special. Something was different about this guy. He demands my attention. In an ocean full of just people bobbing there, because that's like what you do in the ocean. You jump through the waves. In an ocean full of people doing that, this dude's swimming, actually against the waves, and he's making ground. And the moment I realize this guy's purpose is when he gets to me, and he extends the orange flotation device to me and tells me to grab on. Immediately, I realize that they had sent a lifeguard out to save me. What is going on? I've got this under control. I'm a professional boogie boarder. Booger boarder? That's weird. Boogie boarder. Come on. I don't need a lifeguard. They sent a lifeguard to save me. That is the second most embarrassing moment of my life. I shared the first last week if you were here. They sent a lifeguard to save me. And what was crazy is that from the moment this guy entered the water, I knew something was different about him. From the moment that the voice came over the loudspeaker, I knew some things were about to change. There were some things that showed me that this guy was different than everybody else that was in the water, and that he was actually coming towards me with a purpose to save my life. Here's what's interesting about this. Did you know that there were some signs about Jesus that we get to see in Scripture that actually give us a better idea of what makes him so special, that actually gives us a better idea of why and how he was different and his purpose in our lives? Open your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 is where we're going to pick up today. We're going to pick up right where we left off. If you need a Bible, we have those for you. Put your hand up. There's no shame. We want you to read along, see what we're talking about in here. We think it's important that you follow. If not, I could say anything I want up here and you wouldn't know the difference. And that's not good. I would not do that to you. But we want you to be able to read along, see what we're talking about. If you don't own a Bible, keep the one we're about to give to you. I mean that. We want you to have this for yourself. We want you to read it. We believe it is the most incredible thing that we have. John chapter 1. If you weren't here last week, we started a brand new series going through the book of John. I told you it's going to take a while. We're going to be in this for a lot of this year. We're journeying through the book of John to discover and see who Jesus is. That's the purpose of this book. It tells us who Jesus is and what that means for our lives. The book of John. It's written by this guy named John. Hey, good. It's written by this guy named John. And last week we saw that this guy says that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus in all that he is, in all of his being, is God. At the very core of this human man, Jesus is God. That's who he is. There's no separating the two. Jesus is God. And what's interesting about that is that John, the author of this book, happened to be one of Jesus's best friends. He was incredibly close with him. He lived life with him. He was there when Jesus was walking the earth. He saw the way Jesus acted in public and in private. And still, after all of Jesus' life, he was able to look at him and go, he is God. He's God. He's perfect. He's perfect. But here's what's interesting. John 1 gave us a little bit of a spoiler. It tells us right off the bat that Jesus is God. But what if we didn't know that? What if we had to figure that out on our own? What if we had to figure that out by just watching Jesus for ourselves? How would we know that he's actually different and he's sent here with a purpose? Well, today we're going to see the signs that pointed to Jesus and said, hey, you better pay attention. There's something different about this guy. Let's dive in. John chapter 1. We're going to pick up right where we left off last week. We're going to pick up in verse 19. Verse 19, it says this.
Now, this was John's testimony. This is a different John. I'll explain it in a second. Now, this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elisha?" We'll explain that. He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" We'll explain that too. He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" Okay, so there's a couple things you need to understand, or you need to know in order to understand what's happening here. The first one is this. There's a specific group of people in which most of Jesus' life takes place with, the Jews. Jesus happened to be a Jew himself. It was his race. It was his origin. It was his bloodline. It was his family. The Jews. The Jews. This group of people, thousands of years prior to this being written, prior to all of this happening, had been promised by God that somebody special would come from their family line. A Savior. A Messiah. Someone would come and fix the mistakes that we had done wrong. Someone would come and forgive us of all the wrong things we've done, inside and out. That someone would come and flip this world upside down. Meaning that all the evil, all the wrong, all the terrible things that we know and we see would be changed by this one person. And thousands of years ago, it had been promised to the Jews that through their family, through their people, this Messiah, this Savior, this chosen one would come. So then this guy, John the Baptist, shows up on the scene. The one we read about here, it's not the same one who wrote the book of John, it's a different one. If you were here during the Christmas season, we talked about him a little bit. If not, I'll explain a little bit of who he is. See, around Christmas time, around Jesus' birth, there was actually another special baby boy who was born. There was another baby boy that was a part of the Christmas story. He happened to be Jesus' relative. Many believe he's his cousin, exactly. And this baby was also born with a purpose. His purpose was to prepare people for the promised Messiah, for the promised Savior, the chosen one. Who would come? John the Baptist was born to prepare people for the one who would actually change everything. And now John the Baptist is a little older, and he's out, and he's doing what he was born to do. He's preparing people for what is about to happen next. But here's the issue. See, John the Baptist is doing some religious things. He's doing some things in the power and in the name of God. And these Jewish people who had been promised a Savior directly from God thousands of years before, they had their own group of religious people. They had their own group of religious authority who could speak on behalf of God, who could do religious things. And so when they heard that John the Baptist was on the scene, they go, he's not one of us, so what's he doing our job? Why is he doing these religious things that should be ours to do? Who is this guy? So they look at him and they go, are you the Messiah? John goes, No, that's not who I am. They think maybe this is him. Maybe this is the one that we had been promised thousands of years ago. Maybe he is the Savior. Maybe that's why he's doing these things. And John goes, no, that's not me. That's not who I am. So the religious leaders go, well, if he's not the Messiah, maybe he's Elisha. And you and I go, oh, what does that mean? Well, here's what's interesting. There was a man named Elijah who lived a long time before these words that we read here. But the religious leaders, the important religious people, would have known who Elisha was. And they would have known something special about Elisha, and that's this. That Elisha was a person that was special to God. He was a prophet. He was one who actually could speak on behalf of God. God would speak to him, and then he would speak to the people. And what makes him so special is that he actually never died. Elisha never physically died. He was taken into heaven, and the religious leaders, the one who are now showing up to John and going, hey, are you Elisha? They would have been expecting Elisha to return back to earth before everything that we know, life as we know it, ended. So they look at John and they go, are you Elisha? Are you that guy? Are things about to end? What's going on? And he goes, no, that's not me. They go, okay. Then are you the prophet? The prophet. They were expecting somebody else. Remember, God had been making promises to them for thousands of years. God had a special relationship with these Jewish people, and the religious leaders within this Jewish community would have known that. And they also knew that they were expecting a prophet, a capital P, as you read in your Bibles, prophet. This dude was important. He was special. He would speak in the very voice and the very authority of God. What he said would be the word of God. So they go, are you the prophet? Are you that one that we've been waiting for? And John goes, that's not me either. Okay, so then who in the world is this guy? Who in the world is this guy? And why is he doing what he's doing? Let's keep reading. Verse 23. John the Baptist is replying to the religious leaders of the Jews. John replied in the words of Isaiah, the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. Okay, so John leaves it plainly in words that they would understand. He looks at them and says, look, I'm none of those things that you think I am. I'm here to prepare you for the one who will change this world. I'm here to tell you about him. I'm here to point him out to you so that you don't miss him. He speaks in the words of this prophet. Just explain what that is. It's a guy who God speaks to, and then he can speak to the people on behalf of God. He speaks in the words of this prophet Isaiah that the religious leaders would have known. They would have known these words well. And he goes, look, I'm the one that Isaiah promised. I'm the one that 1,000 years ago when Isaiah was walking this planet, I'm the one that he told you would come and get you ready for the Savior you've been waiting for. That's me. What John is saying here, he's going, look, I'm the one that's calling out from the loudspeaker, preparing you and showing you that something is about to change. He goes, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the lifeguard. I'm the one going tower two, boogie border. So that you pay attention and you realize that something different is about to happen. That is who John the Baptist is. That is his purpose. That is why he is here. So let's keep reading and see what happens next. Verse 24. Now the Pharisees, who had been sent, questioned him. Why then do you baptize John the Baptist? He baptized people. Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elisha, nor the prophet? John goes, I baptize with water, John replied. But among you, catch this, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me. The straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. That's different. This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. Okay, so they ask him a good question. If you're not any of those people, then why are you doing religious things? Why are you doing the things that we're supposed to do? What gives you the authority to be able to do that? If you are not one of us, if you are not Elisha, if you're not the Messiah, the Savior himself, then why are you baptizing people? What gives you the right to do that? And he goes, look, guys, what I'm doing is simply a symbol of something that we all need. What I'm doing in baptizing people is simply preparing you for what you really need on the inside. The symbolism of baptism, When you go under the water, it's a symbol that you've died to your old way of life, that you've died to your sin, your wrongdoing, the wrong things that you do. And then when you come out of the water, it's a symbol that you begin a new life, that you've began a new life that's fresh, that's forgiven, that's clean. And John goes, guys, I'm doing this as a symbol to prepare you for what we all need. That's the reason I baptize. I'm not doing it with any big religious power. The way they would have understood baptism is that you get baptized if you want to be a Jew. He goes, that's not why I'm baptizing people. I'm not making them anything different than they are. I'm simply preparing them with a symbol of what the one who comes after me will be able to do in their hearts. And that's change them. That's give them a new life. He goes, there's someone coming whose sandals I'm not even worthy to unstrap that will actually change your life from the inside out. That's different. That's really different. To those religious leaders, they would have went there and stood there and went, that's different. Who can say that? Who could he be talking about? What's going on? They would have been very curious as to what John was talking about. And then I love what happens. Jesus shows up on the scene. Jesus shows up. Things get really interesting. Let's keep reading. Verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, listen to this. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The next day, something very, very different happens. John uses some crazy, strong words to describe who this Jesus guy is. He goes, the Lamb of God. That's strange. Who takes away the sins of the world. Wait a second. This guy's a man. He's walking up to us on his 2 feet. He takes away the sins. He's capable of forgiving us from the inside out. Who is this guy? That's different. Why would you talk about a human being like that, John? John goes, hey, check this guy out. He's here. He's here to save us from everything that we've ever done wrong. What? What? That doesn't, he's a human, John. He looks like you and I, John. What are you saying? What are you talking about? I mean, first off, he calls him the Lamb of God. Jesus was not a lamb. He was not a sheep. He would have been walking towards them, and they would have looked and said, He's not a sheep, so what in the world are you talking about, John? He is a man with 2 legs, and he does not baa, he talks. The Lamb of God, what John is referring to is something interesting, something that honestly you and I don't really understand today. I know this sounds a little crazy, but for thousands of years, these people had been trying to make up for their sins. They had been trying to make up on their own for all the wrong things that they had done. And the way that they did this was by sacrificing lambs, sacrificing animals. They thought, okay, the life of something needs to be taken in order to fix our lives. It has to happen. That's the way it works. I know it sounds brutal. We don't do it anymore, even though we eat animals all the time, whatever. But I don't know why I said that. We don't do this anymore. The people at the time, though, they would have known exactly what John was talking about. John goes, hey, I get that he's not a sheep. That's why I'm saying this. What I want you to understand is that you need a sacrifice in order to make up for the things that you've done wrong. But those sheep that you've been sacrificing for thousands of years, they'll never do the trick. What you need is a perfect sacrifice who understands what it's like to live a life like yours and yet never make a mistake. You need a sacrifice like that in order to fully take away your sin, in order to fully give you a new life. And he looks at Jesus, and if you know the story, he predicts that Jesus would be that sacrifice, that Jesus would be the one who gives his life in order to bring us new life. That's different, junior hires, that's different. He looks at this man, this ordinary man, two legs, two arms, two eyes, and he goes, it's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He goes, look, this dude's different. You better pay attention. Let's keep reading. Verse 30. This is the one, talking about Jesus, this is the one I met when I said, a man who comes, listen to this, catch this, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. He goes, oh, okay, I'm not just going to stop there. I'm going to say some more weird things about this human being Jesus is standing in front of you. He goes, this is the one I was telling you about. This is the one that even though he came after me, even though he was born after me, he was actually there before me. What? What are you saying, John? Are you feeling okay, buddy? He goes, look. This is the one who has no beginning. This is the one who was there since everything has been created. This is the one who actually created it. This is God who stands in front of you. This is the one who has more power than me. This is the one whose sandals I can't even unstrap. This dude is something serious. He goes, look, this guy's different. Pay attention. Pay attention to this Jesus guy. He's a big deal. There's something different about him. And he goes, look, I baptized people to show them. Like I said earlier, he baptizes people to show them what Jesus was going to be able to do in their lives. To show them that Jesus would be the one who could stop their old way of life and give them a brand new one, free from mistakes, free from wrongdoing, free from guilt and shame, free from sin. He goes, look, this guy's a big deal. I baptize to show you that he is the one who's going to forgive us for everything we've done wrong. He's different. Pay attention. Pay attention. Let's keep going. Verse 32. Catch this. Put yourself in the story as we read this. Jesus is about to be baptized. Some of you will be baptized next week. There's nothing different about what's taking place here. He's going to be dunked under the water and brought up out of the water. The same type of baptism that you and I do, that's why we do it. Put yourself on the scene. Put yourself there on the shore as Jesus is being baptized. Imagine what this moment would have been like. Verse 32, then John the Baptist, gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. What? And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Okay. So John baptizes Jesus. And what's interesting about Jesus' baptism is that it means a little bit more than yours and I and mine. Sorry, and I know that's kind of a bummer. But Jesus' baptism actually serves as a symbol of what would happen to him. Because as Jesus continued his ministry, as Jesus continued to be who he is, one day he would die. As is symbolized when he goes under the water. But then here's what's interesting, and I don't mean to spoil this whole thing for you, but I'm going to because it's the best news that you and I could ever know. Jesus would come back to life and change everything. When he came out of the water, it was a symbol of the fact that Jesus would not stay dead, but would live again, and because of that would change our lives, would give us freedom, would forgive us of our sins, and change us from the inside out. Junior hires, Jesus' baptism was different. The Spirit of God shows up looking like a dove and descends on him. What? I have never seen that at a person's baptism. I highly doubt I'm going to see it next week when we do baptisms here at the church. Something is different about this Jesus guy. The Spirit of God shows up in the form of a dove and comes down on Jesus to show us that there's something special about him, to show us that he is who he says he is. Jesus' baptism is different. It's different than any baptism that's ever taken place. And we've been doing these things for thousands of years, but this one guy shows up and something's different about him. Maybe, just maybe, we should pay attention as to why. John goes, look, this guy Jesus is different. This guy Jesus will baptize you with something different than water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, meaning he is the one who can actually take away your sin. He is the one who can actually give you new life. What I want you to understand this morning is that Jesus is different. He was different than any human being who's ever lived. To the people in the time that he showed up at 2,000 years ago, he would have been different. There were these signs and these symbols that pointed to him and said, hey, look, pay attention. He's different. Some of you may have noticed something different when you walked into this room this morning. If you're sitting around here, you probably noticed that there's one green chair in the middle of all of our normal black chairs. If you walked in here and you've been here before, you probably walked in and went, huh, I wonder why that's there. I've never seen that before. You probably walked in and went, huh, I wonder what they're going to use that for. I'm a little curious as to why that green chair is in there. They've never put it in here before. Maybe this is your first time here and you walked in here and you went, that's really strange. There's one green chair in the middle of all the other ones. What do they use that for? Why is that something that happens every week? You were at very least curious. You walked into the room and that chair demanded your attention. You saw green and you're like, what? That's weird. It stood out to you. You were curious as to what the purpose of that chair was. You were curious as to why the chair was here. Don't you think that maybe something similar is happening in this story that we read about Jesus? We see that all of these things make him different. At the very least, shouldn't we be curious as to why? Shouldn't we wonder? Shouldn't they stand out to us? Shouldn't we look at Jesus and go, what makes this guy different? This is weird. I wonder why all of these things happen to him. I wonder why he's so different. Everything is pointing to Jesus and going, hey, this guy's different. Pay attention. Pay attention. As we close, I'm going to read this final verse, verse 34. John the Baptist goes, I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one, that this is the Son of God. He flat out goes, this is the Son of God. Boom, he's different. He's not just a man. At very least, pay attention to what happens next. So I wonder this. This is my challenge to you. Maybe this is your first time here. You've never been here before, or maybe you're still wrestling with this whole Jesus, God, church thing. After hearing this, after hearing these things that make Jesus different, at the very least, shouldn't you be curious as to why he's so different? Maybe you've been sitting here for weeks. Maybe you grew up in church. And again, you're reminded that Jesus is different. Shouldn't you pay attention to the way he lives his life? Maybe our lives are supposed to look similar to his. At the very least. At the very, very least. As we continue our journey through the book of John, shouldn't we at least consider that everything we're about to learn This is the beginning. What we read today is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. The rest of this book, the rest of what we study will explain why he's different. At the very least, shouldn't we consider that what's about to happen next over the coming weeks that we will talk about maybe has some deeper purpose for our lives? I mean, really think about that. Shouldn't we at least give it our attention, like we gave attention to the chair when we walked into this room? As we continue our journey through the book of John, at very least, this is what I'm asking from you, at very least, consider that it's worth your time and attention to see what happens next in Jesus' life. At very least, be curious as to why Jesus, this man who had flesh and blood just like you and I, be curious as to why he was so different. Be curious about who this Jesus guy that you hear talked about in church, that your friends talk about, that your mom and dad talk about, that people talk about on TV. At very least, be curious as to who this Jesus guy really, really is. This guy's had people following him for thousands of years. He's different. He's different. And for us, that's good news. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you that you're different. God, just like the lifeguard diving in the ocean with his orange flotation device stood out to me, so should the things that we read in John chapter 1. Something was different about this guy, Jesus, whoever he is. I mean, some of us know who he is, but something was different about this guy. John was not even worthy to unstrap his sandals. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the one who has no beginning, this guy was different. John did everything he could to point us to him and say, hey, pay attention, something special is about to happen. And God, I pray that we would be a room of people who pay attention. I pray that we would be a room of people who stick with it because the rest of this story has the potential to change our lives for the better. God, I pray for those who maybe it's the first time here, that at very least, any little bit of curiosity that they have would continue to grow as we go through the book of John. For those that are sitting here and know Jesus, I pray that at the very least, they would pay attention to his life and begin to think, maybe that's the way that we're supposed to live ours. Thank you for being different. Thank you for giving us clear signs so that we could figure out and watch who you are and watch how you live and be new creations in you. We love you. We thank you for all that you are. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.